Lord, we need your miraculous grace and power. Lord, even today, even if we've walked with you for many years, or if we're sitting here and we don't know you yet, Lord, we need your miraculous grace, amazing grace, phenomenal, abundant mercy, which is new, fresh and flowing this day of grace, this day of mercy, this day of your power, this day of your poured out Spirit, Lord. And that's our prayer as we continue. Lord, open our eyes to see you. Lord, that's our great need, to see you. Lord, Lord, speak to us, we pray. And may our ears be attentive to you and your voice. Lord, we pray against every other distracting influence. We stand against every power that is not from you. Oh Lord Jesus, not in our strength, but in your great strength and authority, we rebuke the enemy. And we pray, Lord, for your powerful and penetrating word to change all of our lives this day. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to, could you just turn briefly to Habakkuk? That's in the Old Testament, and it comes just after Nahum, if you need in a little clue, and just before Zephaniah. This is one of the Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk. That's a great name, isn't it? Three K's in the name. And it starts with this, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. That's an interesting way to start. And some of you will be aware, if you were at Quinter or if you were listening in, there was a theme of faith, living faith, and I'm still captivated with this theme. And some of you may know, if you don't, I'll let you know, that in Habakkuk chapter 2, it's the first time we get this amazing phrase in the scripture, the just shall live by his faith, in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Now the context is fairly dire. Let's just get this out of the way early on. The context is intense and sort of scanning the circumstances that Habakkuk and the people of God found themselves in. It was a gloomy picture, to say the least. Habakkuk faces the imminent invasion. This is just a little bit of context, stick with me. The imminent invasion of the southern kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians, or in, you may have it, the Chaldeans. They're a fairly nasty bunch of people. Now you might think, well, that's a bit judgmental. But read your history. These were not to be messed with, and a significant power and influence in that day. And this invasion, actually, that was imminent, and was in fact the Lord answered Habakkuk's complaint in chapter 1. He's got a fair few things to say. He's got questions to the Lord. Summary: what on earth is going on? This is not a good situation. You can read all kinds of things in the first chapter. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? This is the prophet speaking to God. Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Talks about plundering and violence, strife and contention. etc., etc. It's a pretty bleak picture. Sorry, kids, stick with me. We're going somewhere wonderful. But in order to see the true wonder of grace, we do need to realize how dire the situation is that we need saving from. So this imminent invasion was on the prophet's mind, and all the difficulty that was going on with God's people and how people were behaving, etc., etc. And the invasion did actually happen. Seems like towards the end of the 6th century, Jerusalem fell. Lovely to have John and Lindsay with us. Always think of Jerusalem when I think of you. This is devastating in history. Jerusalem fell. To Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord had already revealed to Habakkuk beforehand that this was going to happen, and Judah, the southern kingdom, was going to be judged, if you like. Devastating. You may, if you're familiar with your Old Testament, you may remember that Amos had warned the northern kingdom many years before that injustice would bring judgment, and the Assyrians in that situation swept through the northern kingdom, fell. And here we are, about 130 years later, same offences, same dire situation. But listen, I wrote this down, I was just grappling with these things. Although God's judgment is coming, in this context, on Judah, via the Babylonians, via the Chaldeans, their great power in the earthly sense will in the end come to nothing. Ultimately, all worldly power and authority represented by the nations' endeavors to fill the earth with their fame and their power, ultimately it is vain. We read in chapter 2 verse 13, the nations weary themselves with these endeavors. Why do they weary themselves? Because as we read in the next verse, the earth, listen folks, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We've been reminded already about big rivers. This blows this, excuse the phrase, out of the water. It seems to me that all the rivers have burst their banks, and the metaphor of the glory of the Lord is just an absolute flood. Worldwide. He's got the whole universe in his hands, my friend. Oh, praise God. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Although calamity and judgment are coming, there is hope. The just shall live by faith. So we get that verse in a dark context. This truth, the significance of this truth, escalates. Dare I say it, hold on to your hats if you've got a hat. This truth explodes as we come into the New Testament. That phrase in Habakkuk, in that context I've very briefly outlined, absolutely goes large. And this is where our focus is to be for our short time this morning. I want us to go through the three specific references to that phrase, the just shall live by faith, and let's see what the Lord says to us as we explore his word. Okay, so if you want, you can get your fingers in. This is where we're going to go. The first one is in Romans chapter 1, and specifically verse 17. We'll read a little around it. The second one is in Galatians chapter 3. And specifically verse 11. And the third one is in Hebrews chapter 10. And specifically verse 38. Three references to Habakkuk's revelation from God in a dire context that the just shall live by faith. So let's look at the first one. If you go to Romans. And as we're doing this, what's happened this morning is not coincidental. That story of lost and found is powerful. Obviously, for that family, dear Rod and Bernie, we were with you praying, as countless others were. My heart just was thinking, oh, if it was one of mine. This is a picture, not just a picture very real in their experiences, but for us this morning, that tests me. I believe the Lord is speaking to us with serious weight of his great heart of love and pursuing compassion, but also highlighting how utterly vulnerable and lost we are. So hold this, that story, lost and found, as we look at these three references. So Romans 1, and Paul, he's firing on all four cylinders, isn't he, in Romans. Let's just cut in verse 16, Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and you've already referenced how resistant many are and how people and there's powers operating to keep them blind. The gospel, let's just believe it. For the Jews, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. We stand with you and pray for their salvation. Pray that they would see the glory of who Christ is. And also for the Greek. Now if you think, hang on a minute, I'm not Greek. That actually means all the rest of us who aren't Jews. Yeah, all the nations, the Gentiles. So it's for everyone. It's been said before, to everyone who believes. Jews and Gentiles. For in it, in verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed. This is in the gospel, which is the power of God. Are you layering this up as we read the word of God? It's so powerful, this. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, referencing Habakkuk 2:14, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in this first reference, go with me on this. Sometimes when I used to teach English, if you emphasized one word in a sentence, it would kind of give you a point of focus and perhaps change the emphasis of the meaning, depending on where you emphasize the word. So we're going to do that a little bit. So in this phrase, ready? The just, so let's emphasize that, the just shall live by faith. This is the first point. Thanks very much. This is brilliant. I love working together. The just shall live by faith. Now, to really unpack this point, turn to Romans 3 and verse 21. We've just heard that in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. Now in chapter 3 and verse 21, we'll cut in there, but now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. There it is again. The righteousness of God is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, listen, through faith in Jesus Christ. Who to? All and on all who believe. Just in case we were thinking we were left out with the Jew-Greek thing earlier, just for emphasis, this is for absolutely everyone who believe. Everyone who believes. For there is no difference. Now listen to this for levelling the playing field. All have sinned. People take offence from that, but I'm not going to stop saying it. I've sinned. You've sinned. The whole sorry lot of us have sinned. The quicker we get to that realisation, the quicker we realise our need. And it's actually the goodness of God that leads us to this realisation. We're done for. And then amazing grace sounds amazing when you hear it. Glory to his name. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen to this. With our phrase, the just shall live by faith, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. Now, if you've been a Christian for a long time, I hope you've got a handle on what justification by faith is. But it may be that you don't know what that means. Simply put, justification is when a holy God looks at a sinful person and says, I declare you righteous. Not worldly goodness, but holy, top of the range, perfection itself, full on, and all the merits of the life that demonstrates that righteousness made over to you. How? That's wrong. That can't happen. How can you take someone who's utterly undeserving and guilty as sin of sins and capital sin and declare them, sorry Lee, you don't mind being part of this role play, go with me, and declare them utterly blameless? Isn't it wonderful? Seriously, we need to, this is foundational for each and every one of us, and this is the gospel. Amen. Glory to his name. Being justified, what we've just tried to somewhat falteringly explain there, justified freely by his grace. Now that's a great injustice right there, unless something absolutely phenomenal has taken place, and Paul goes on to explain. This is through the redemption, the agonizing, once and for all, redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate, there it is again, demonstration at the present time, his righteousness, and listen to this, that God, holy, perfect, who dwells in unapproachable light, might look at any one of us and declare us utterly righteous, blameless. I mean, this is truly staggering. Get on to this, my friends, afresh. This is not about how well you've done last week. This is not about how you've handled things or relations. This is nothing to do with any of our CV stuff, you know, where we're like, I just want to give a testimony to how well I've done and how wonderfully the Lord is using me and all of, they're great, really encouraging, but that's got nothing to do with this. This is Almighty God in all his blazing holiness doing something so utterly miraculous and, dare I say it, scandalous. And then it says in this passage that he might be just and at the same time the justifier of the one, anyone who believes, who has faith in Jesus. That's all it takes from our part. Lord, I believe. Glory to God. Lee, if I do another role play, I'm going to move to someone else. You can rest easy now. Isn't this wonderful? The just, the emphasis there on justified, actually, shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? I see the bar to heaven removed, and all thy merits, Lord, are mine. So this isn't just some clinical legal thing. Who's the righteous one? Come on, give me the answer.
Jesus.
All his merits are made over to you. Let it sink in. This is good news. Genuinely, this is good news. Unmerited favour. All his merits. Everything. His righteousness. Declared, imputed to you. And what do you have to do? Work out, stretch, reach for the stars, search for the hero inside yourself, aim to do better. And we do it. We do it. There's something intrinsic in humanity. We feel like we've got to earn it. We've got to do something. I'm quite a gifted person. I think that's got some value and worth. Let me just bring that along. Throw it into the mix. All have sinned and fall short. There's two responses to that. You can take offence and say, who do you think you are saying that kind of nonsense? Or you can go, praise God. We're all in the same boat. Lord, I believe. It's just the most wonderful. This is fresh air from heaven itself. So take the legal picture. You're standing there in the dock, doomed. You haven't got a leg to stand on. You've got the best defence lawyer in town. And even he or she is like, got nothing. The evidence is overwhelmingly against you. All I can try and get is a slightly shorter sentence, but even that, you're done for. And you're standing there, waiting. And there's plenty of people in the jury who can throw their tuppence in. Yeah, shocker. And then in walks the Christ with nail-scarred hands. Forgive him. Will you believe? And if you know you're doomed, you're more likely to say, seriously, yes. Yes. And at the highest level of authority, this is signed off. And guess what? The judge is in on this. He's arranged it all beforehand. Glory to God. And listen to this, justification. I know we often think forgiveness is what this is all about. Forgiveness is absolutely wonderful. There's stories filling the Gospels where people who are utterly broken and lost without hope just wash Jesus' feet with their tears. They've got nothing to, other than have mercy. Luke 18, do you remember the Pharisee and the publican? Pharisee's proper CV stuff. Check this out. Fasting on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, got a real rhythm of life going here spiritually. Prayer meetings and readings and all kinds of stuff. Check it out. I've laminated it so we can keep it clean. Got it on the fridge.
I'm surprised he's got time for actually doing what God wants him to do.
And then the publican, you know the story. Beating his breast, and his plea is, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. He was onto it. Jesus, again somewhat shockingly, in the context, says, the publican's justified. That's an illustration of this. Oh, wow, the Pharisee must... But I've laminated it. Glory to God. Isn't this wonderful? Receive it fresh again. This is the foundation of our standing. Again, please don't... Well, no, you can be offended if you want, but that's your issue. We don't have a leg to stand on. And yet somehow, by grace alone, I stand. Invited by redeeming love. So forgiveness of sins, in a sense, if it's just that, it's like you're forgiven. You're not going to be punished as you deserved. Off you go. Justification, in a sense, is absolutely that, but not off you go. Welcome in. And you know what? Table's laid. All the merits of the ultimate righteous one are yours. Sorry, yours. All of it. Do you want a fresh sense of wonder? Ponder this great truth. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. The just shall live by faith. How are we doing? 10 to 12, and I've got point one done. Okay, Galatians 3. Quick one. We're going to speed up now, and then you can study these yourselves at home. Galatians 3. It's in verse 11, but I'm going to give you a little bit of padding around it, okay? Again, Paul. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? This is a common trap. So the wonder of justification. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then a few weeks in, getting the hang of this. Actually, I'm doing pretty well. Just like to commend myself, my track record. I know it's only been a few weeks, but... And subtly, and the enemy's trying to do this, is to get us off the grace, the amazing grace, and onto something... that actually just tickles our ego and all the rest of it. And Paul is addressing this. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you... Looking for an amen from Richard. Thank you. I'm listening. So he who supplies the Spirit to you, excuse me, and works miracles among you. I love the way Paul just does that in passing, kind of, this is what's happening. Does he do it? This is his main point. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. There's that justification. By faith. Therefore, know that only those who are of the faith of the sons of Abraham and the scripture, foreseeing that God would God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. This is being fulfilled right now, by the way, and ongoing, and it's escalating globally. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Keep going with me. I know we've not got too much time, but this is great stuff. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. And here comes our quote, second time. The just... And can I put the emphasis somewhere else now? The just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but, quote, the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Aren't those amazing scriptures? Just to draw out the point, the emphasis here, the just shall live by faith. So, justified, that's phenomenal. Here, let's draw our attention to life. Life in the Spirit. So God doesn't just say, all the merits are yours, we sign that off legally, it's accounted to you, done and dusted, that's great, which it is, phenomenal. But he actually says, by faith, you know what, you can receive the very same life of the one whose merits have been accounted to you. Are you with me? This is absolutely staggering. Absolutely staggering. So you can, we can actually, in an ongoing way, receive abundant life in the Spirit. That is an amen, isn't it? Glory to God. So it's not, because the danger is we see something, we have something revealed, we're like, wow, that's absolutely amazing. But God's intention is absolutely that, but also that we should be filled with his very life. There's only one abundant life. But the amazing thing is that he has opened it up, that we should all partake of the one bread, the one glorious life of Jesus. And this is for all and to all who believe. The danger was for the Galatians, they were thinking, okay, we started in faith, but we're going to crack on with our own great endeavours. We receive this life by faith. We live this life by faith. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, glory to God. Life. The just shall live by faith. Paul says, I live this life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the life. Praise God. Now on that line, it's absolutely legitimate, and that's been going on this morning. Oh Lord, fill us. I'm thirsty. We want more of you, Lord. But be careful, because your perception of how topped up or otherwise you may or may not be is not commending you to the Lord. Do you see? We receive by faith. And we live by faith. And let's not be judging one another either. Oh, this is great. You know, this is a huge weight off, isn't it? Sometimes we walk this walk of faith with a massive rucksack of our own endeavours and our own... I know, but I need a CV somehow. This experience and this education and my personal statement. You know what CVs are like, anyone who's applied for a job. Nothing wrong with that. Polish it up. You can do classes on how to do good CVs. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to this, it's entirely different. Oh, praise God. And then we're going to finish with the third point, which is in Hebrews 10. And we've got just a couple of minutes and we'll be done. And this is the third and final time that this phrase comes in the New Testament, lifted from that first time in Habakkuk. And the emphasis here, maybe you could just put it on the faith part. The just shall live by faith. Therefore, in verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Who needs endurance? Show of hands. I think that's fairly overwhelmingly conclusive. We all recognize we need endurance, don't we? And the scripture says, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. And here it is, now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe. There it is. To the saving of the soul. Glory to God. Who wants to believe fresh this morning? This is to all and on all who believe. So our part is, in all honesty, oh Lord, and often my prayer is, I believe, help my unbelief. We just come as we are, but yes, Lord, I'm saying yes to you. I see that you're entirely unique. There is no other. There's no other hope. As much as I know how I cast my lot in with you, I reach out my hand to be saved. Who wants to be saved? It's fairly conclusive. Glory to God. You know, there's lots of people who take offense at this gospel. But if he has us here just saying simply, Lord, I want to be saved. All yours, my friend. Comes in like a flood. Glory to his wonderful name. By faith. And here we're going to close this scripture in Hebrews. We are not of those who draw back, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's not just temporary, that's for all eternity. Oh, praise God. We walk in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk. This is the ongoing journey of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And this may be for some people here, for your light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for you a far more exceeding weight. Do you get the picture of the scales? Paul is not belittling the fact of the trial and the suffering that people go through and the difficulty, but he's doing a comparison. And he says the glory that is being worked is an eternal weight of glory, and it far exceeds what he describes as, in comparison, the light affliction. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. The just shall live by faith. Justified freely by his grace. Enabled to live a life, an abundant life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can open up fresh again today for a great infilling and outflowing of the Holy Spirit, of Holy God. And all of this, as we walk on, is by faith in Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, 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 we realize again we're in your awesome presence. Your holiness, your righteousness, and amazingly at the same time, your staggering compassion. Oh Lord Jesus, you've come for us. You've come for each and every one in this room. Specifically with your name, with our name in your heart and on your lips. Oh Lord Jesus, we worship you and we lift our hands again. We reach out to you for this great salvation. Forgiven, justified freely, filled, enabled to walk this walk of faith, this newness of life.
Oh, praise your wonderful name. Lord, Lord, if we need to repent of things, enable us to do it quickly. And just let go and run again to you. Lord, 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 we thank you with all our hearts for this gospel, this power of God to salvation. And enable us, Lord, all in our own way to respond honestly to you. And we trust you, Lord, with the fruit of this exchange. For your glory we pray. Amen.